Hey, what's good, guys? Akalon here, and of course, welcome back to each and every one of you. If you're wondering why this video doesn't have a thumbnail, it's because I've just cancelled Photoshop, and I'm shopping around for, well, Photoshop got cancelled because my bank card expired, and I'm still waiting for the new one, which should arrive somewhere today, maybe tomorrow morning. Hopefully they deliver on a Saturday. Because the bank screwed up and they sent me the wrong. It's a whole story. But anyways, so I have to update the bank details, but I can't update the bank details until I get the card. And I don't want to stick with Photoshop. Adobe is first and foremost super expensive, but also just bloated as hell. So it's a whole thing. And now I'm researching what other programs to use. So if you guys have any suggestions, I'd love to hear it. But anyways, I have a topic that I wanted to discuss. It's something that I've wanted to talk about for a while now. It's something that's been pressing on me for a while. Now, this is going to be super inflammatory, and it's probably going to get a lot of your hairs up in a tizzy. But hear me out. I mean, if you don't agree, you're more than welcome to say, Akko, I don't agree, and then tell me exactly why. But I predict that within the next decade, AAA gaming will die. I'm making this prediction now so that in a decade from now, you can fact check this and you can see, was Akalon correct or was he not? I actually think that it's going to happen sooner than a decade, but a decade for all of the stragglers. Now, before we get into, or before we start judging each other for this prediction, let's talk about why I predict the AAA gaming industry to die. And I'm talking specifically about the large companies that we see today, the Ubisofts, the EAs. The DEI stuff and the woke stuff definitely has something to do with it, but all that is going to do, in my opinion, is speed up the process. I don't believe that that is going to be the reason for it. I think even if all of these AAA companies did everything correctly, started making all the best games, I think the era of AAA is over. So, what is AAA? What was it? What is it today? So, it used to be the AAA was publishers. That's it. A game, if it had a publisher, that would be considered a AAA game. Now, this was during the very early days of gaming where you had a couple of games a year that would come out with publishers, with massive marketing backing. I mean, any game that would come out that didn't have a giant publisher behind it, so any game that couldn't really do all of that marketing, those games would just sort of disappear. There was a very small AA industry and a non-existent sort of independent industry. And then Steam comes around, and obviously Steam creates, for the first time ever, a place for independent developers to exist. These would be developers who have never had a publisher. They have no budget or very limited budget, but they're still able to make games, right? Oftentimes, these games would have been very small, very tiny, very niche in what they offer, but some of these games were some of the best games you could play in that specific genre. What is AAA today? It's no longer to do with publishing, because these days, anyone can get a publisher. There are angel publishers out there, meaning publishing companies that will literally give money to everyone. And they sort of follow the capital investment sort of formula. Now, if you're a capital venturist and you're in capital venture, the idea becomes quantity over quality. So basically, what capital venturists will do, or venture capitalists, I should probably use the correct term there. What venture capitalists will do is they will invest in 10 different companies, not knowing if any of these 10 companies are actually going to make money or be successful or do anything. But the idea is that even if just one of these companies pop off and start making money, that's money in the bank, right? And that money that that company is now making will basically wipe out all of the losses that they've occurred or accrued on the 9 other companies that did not pop off. In venture capital, in the game of venture capital, There are far more failures than what there are successes, but this is the model. And there are publishing houses today that follow this exact model, where they will fund every game that is offered to them, because they know that all that is required is one of these games to pop off. And we see this, right? We see this with so many games now, Palworld, Helldivers. There are so many smaller games that completely blow up, and Manalords is a great example of this, where that game, if you were the publisher behind Manalords and you funded, say, 15 other games that didn't really make a dent in the market, Manalords sales alone made up for all of those losses and then some. So fundamentally, this is the approach. There are just so many publishers out there now that you can't really make the claim anymore that, oh, AAA is all about the publishers. So nowadays, what AAA really is just budget. So it went from having the publisher, having the budget, being AAA, to now being, oh, everyone has a publisher or can get a publisher. It's now really just something that hinges on what is the budget that you're working with. Now, for independent studios, this budget can range from 100,000 to 1 million, sometimes on the upper limits of, say, 5 or 10 million that they might spend. But this would be publishers that are spending on games that they know for a fact is going to make a lot of money. 50 million is sort of the entry level for AAA. And there's very few games that do 50 million. The overwhelming majority of AAA games will run well into the 100 million and sometimes up to the 200, 250, even 300 million mark just to get that game out and get that game operating. So clearly it's only the budget that now separates the independent studio from the AAA studio. Now, budgets are super important. They were at least super important 5-6 years ago. This was everything. If you wanted to make a game on the size and scale and quality of a Cyberpunk, for example, or even of a Baldur's Gate, you needed actual people. You needed a big enough team that could actually pull this off. So we're talking anywhere from 250 to 400 people just to be able to pull it off, because everything that is in the game had to be made by animators, graphic designers, animators, coders, engine developers. You know, you need a full team of people behind this game to make anything work, really. But there's a shift that's starting to take place. And yes, we're talking about the dreaded and oft-hated AI. With the advent of AI, and also, I think we should include here, with the maturity of game engines. So in this regard, we're talking about Unreal Engine, even to some extent Unity, but there's a number of other engines that's starting to become popular, especially for smaller companies. With the maturity or the maturing of these engines, a lot of the hard work that used to be something that you would need physical bodies to work on is now being handled engine side, or, you know, so you don't really need all of these specialists in order to do stuff because the engine will take care of most of it. And with AI moving at the speed that it is at now, where oftentimes you get full-blown animated films being made in AI, you even have AI voicing characters now to the point where it becomes very difficult to tell the difference between what is AI and what isn't AI. All of these tools are going to enable even smaller teams to do a hell of a lot more. Now, before you go, but Akko, do we want this? Is this ready? It is not a question of want. What we want in this regard is irrelevant. I am sure back, you know, a month before the printing press became a thing, none of the scribes at the time wanted the printing press. They were very happy to do the job of basically repeating and rewriting and copying the Bible over and over again. But the printing press came around, and a few years later, there were hardly any scribes left. Today, there is no such thing as scribes, unless you're long-term unemployed and living with your parents, and calling yourself a scribe because that's your D&D character. But there are no scribes in the world anymore because we really don't need that. We have photocopiers, and yeah, I mean, even the printing press now is considered really old and an old and antiquated idea, right? So fundamentally, what we want and what we'll get is not the same thing. We want games to be made by actual real people, and we want voice acting to be done by actual actors, and we want the models that play in these games to be actual people, but it doesn't matter. They're not going to be, at least not for long. AI is coming, and it's coming stronger than ever. You see it with every single update to every single one of these AI engines. It just becomes better and smarter at doing the things that you and I, just a few years ago, would have thought nigh impossible. And the thing is, with these technologies, the more speed they pick up, the more speed they will pick up, because they're learning more, they have more ability to identify the problems and the mistakes within their previous code, and then make it better. Obviously, I'm not talking the AI doing this. There's actual the coders doing this. But with AI becoming a thing, we can look at two potential scenarios here. The first scenario is the one that guaranteed a lot of studios will dive into, and this is the predatory one, right? This is the one where if it can be made by AI, then AI will do it. Voice actors will become a thing of the past. It will be a legacy idea. And I could very easily see a world in which a lot of voice actors collect royalties off of AI voice acting, where they lend their voice to the training of an AI. And whenever someone uses the AI that their voice was used on, they get paid a couple of cents per minute or whatever for the games that operate. And this will probably carve out a decent living for those people, because while they won't be paid as much per game, there will be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of games running every single day using their voice, or at least a portion of their training, of their voice being used for training for these AI. So there will be companies that go ball to the wall on this. But then you can also imagine a great scenario for where AI can become really good. Imagine companies like CD Projekt Red, companies like Larian Studios, where they can now save money on the artistry and the, you know, just the raw developer costs, because most of the developer jobs, the menial jobs, the boring jobs, the things that someone has to do it, is now taken over by AI. And this means that they have more budget to include more voice actors, to bring more models to the forefront, right? So I think you're going to get these two schools of game development, where some are going to remain relatively pure, and they're going to want to offer a pure experience. And others are just going to, like EA, Andrew Wilson, will probably switch the whole thing to AI, if indeed it is possible. But these tools serve as a phenomenal, I want to say, breaking point. Because once AI catches up, and once AI becomes a tool that do alleviate 50, 60, 70, 80% of the workforce within a game development cycle, there is no more difference between the AAA and the indie. I mean, the difference is already shrunken to minute territory, and it is going to eradicate it completely, because you will have AAA indie studios bringing out games that rival Cyberpunk 2077 with a fraction of the team, because the AI was able to do most, if not all, of the heavy lifting. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I already said to you, it doesn't matter what you and I think about the efficacy of the topic. It is what is coming. And if you think from the perspective of a business and why this is important, the bloated budgets of AAA studios is going to be the very thing that ends the AAA industry. They will simply no longer have need for these giant budgets, these massive, massive employer numbers, because, well, AI does most of the work. Now, I think most of the AAA companies are so immobile and so bereft of talent that even in that world, they will still be able to make themselves go bankrupt, because they will not be able to adapt, since most of the people that work for these companies, at least the upper echelons of these companies, are not gamers. They don't know anything about video games. But this is going to lead the charge, right? This is going to make the pie a lot more competitive. Why is it that you don't see any indie companies really bringing out first-person shooters to rival Call of Duty and Battlefront or Battlefield? Well, it's because the technicalities of making that game is just still too steep. Making a game like that with, you know, 10 or 20 or maybe 25 developers will just be too hard. There's just so much that needs to be taken into account in these games, from how a map should be designed, the pitfalls of what a map can do and how a map can completely destroy things, to actual bullet dimensions, bullet dynamics, the dynamics of gravity and natural forces and what it does on the bullet or what it does on the damage. All of that is still very, very technical. You need a lot of people that can help out on these things. But AI is soon going to most likely eradicate all of that, right? You could have an AI create a map to shoot from where it learned from all of the maps that exists and took the best elements from the best ones and made a map that doesn't fall into any of the pitfalls. Because unlike a human that designs it because it looks really cool and then figures out what is it about this map that may make it unfair for one side over the other, the AI can actively play the map while it's building it to ensure that it gives both sides exactly an equal standing within the map, because it just has the capability of doing many more tasks much more freely and much more easily. So games like Call of Duty, Battlefield, they're going to die. They're not going to be able to compete once the map or once the industry really opens up. So fundamentally, all of the talk that we've had about the nonsense that is happening in the AAA space, Ubisoft is currently being attacked by investors. Why? The investors want to force Ubisoft to go private. Why do they want to do that? Because I think there's a lot of investors out there who are starting to realize that the future of video games isn't AAA. It just isn't. The future of video games is smaller, privately owned companies that aren't listed online, because the pie remains the pie. Remember, in this case, we're talking about there are only that many gamers in the world. More games simply mean that more gamers get offered games, but it does mean fewer players for every single game that is in the market. And this is going to have a cascading effect on the viability. Games that cost $200 million isn't going to work. It's just not going to fly. So yeah, that's my prediction. AAA is done. It's cooked. I'd like to hear from you in the comment section down below. Do you agree? Do you think it is the end of AAA, or do you think, no, Ackle, there's still a lot there, you know? There's still some fuel in the tank. We can still make this go. Let me know in the comment section down below. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, be good to each other, be kind to each other, and I shall see all of you in the next one. Peace.